We've got the Nutcracker. Are you familiar with the Nutcracker?
Yes, I am. Yes, the Nutcracker waltz. Yes.
Is that like the theme song?
Yeah.
Huh. All right. It's pretty good.
These nuts.
Yes. I'm familiar with these nuts.
These nuts cracker. And we got to get a remix of that. Well, the Nutcracker is going on right now at the Long Center. This is one of our great traditions here in Austin, Texas, USA, America. It's the 63rd straight year that this performance is happening around the holiday season. You ever been to that? You've been to that show, I'm sure.
I have not, honestly, no. I told you I saw A Christmas Carol, but I've never seen the Nutcracker at the Bass Auditorium. No, I have not.
Okay, so you've seen the show, but not in Austin before.
Not in Austin, yes.
Okay.
During my 70 years on this earth, I've seen the Nutcracker.
There's a lifetime Longhorn that I'm curious if he's doing all right. Somebody sent me this yesterday. Apparently there is a character. I've never seen the Nutcracker. I don't know anything about the Nutcracker. All right. I don't swing that way, if you will. Apparently there's a character named Mother Ginger. You familiar with
Mother Ginger? No. What's she all about?
Mother Ginger in Act Two is known for her oversized skirt under which a troop of young dancers emerges. Some sort of part of the show, I guess. I don't know if that's every Nutcracker or just the Austin Nutcracker that they show. Apparently, it's an honor to be asked to be Mother Ginger. But I saw this. I had a buddy send me this. This is former Texas running back and friend of the program, Fozzie Whitaker, dressed as Mother Ginger over the weekend in the Nutcracker. Look what he's wearing. The giant oversized skirt is what it's called.
It looks like the wardrobe of the head coach of the University of Illinois when he's on the sideline.
Brett Bielema?
Yeah.
That's good. You could have gone with Mike Elko there, but Bielema, he's bigger, so that works.
He's a bit bigger.
This is our guy, Fozzie Whitaker, right here. I mean, Longhorn, great ESPN announcer, friend of the show, friend of everyone. He's a great guy.
What a queen.
But look at it's, I mean, it's again, they say it's an honor. They bring in Austin celebrities to do this. So it's a big deal, I guess, to get the opportunity to dress up like this. But, man, is Fozzie, like, is he short on money? Fozzie, if you need anything, man, let me know. Like, I'll buy you food. I'll give you some cash if you need it.
He's a scary looking chick, though.
Yeah, so would you do this, Buck? Again, it's an honor. Local celebrities, you're a very well-known figure in this town. You have been for a long time. If they asked you to dress up as Mother Ginger, say next year for the Nutcracker around the holidays, are you doing it?
Yes, I would be honored to do something like that. I think that's kind of cool.
You would dress up like this?
I would look better.
You would take it as a challenge, I guess.
Yeah, you got to be a dude that looks a little like your girl. Fozzie looks like a warmonger or something. Like he's ready to go, you know.
He's got facial hair, which, I mean, I guess we've got bearded ladies these days. Nowadays, you got everything. We don't discriminate on this show until we do.
Go to Norman, you'll see tons of them.
Yeah, you'll see. Well, yeah, you're right. That's a good point. I mean, Fozzie's got the little goatee going. So that obviously doesn't help him looking
I'd shave it all.
Mother Ginger. Yeah, so he didn't go, I mean, he went pretty far out with this, but he didn't go all out. I guess, if he would have shaved, then that would have been a full-on Mother Ginger look. Although maybe the character has a beard. I don't know anything about that. Dude, you would have to pay me some good money to do this. I don't know if these guys get paid.
No, it's just an honor to do that. That they asked you just to come out there. I don't know what they have underneath you, because,
dude, that ain't enough of it. This picture of you is out there for the rest of your life. And the crap you're going to be getting from the Texas cheaters every time you hit the course.
My grandkids.
Grandkids, everybody.
Somebody's going to be mean.
Like me, you got to be a little secure. Maybe I'm insecure. I didn't think I was insecure. Maybe I'm insecure. because I don't want a picture of me dressed up like this floating around for the rest of my life.
Somebody said Vince Young has been that.
Yeah, good call. I'd forgotten about that.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, again, they get well-known people. It's not like Fozzie is like volunteering, like, no, I want to switch career paths and now I want to be in the ballet. I don't think it was that, but I hope he got compensated for this.
Yeah, how physical do you have to be? Do I have to do this on a unicycle like Panda Lady?
Like Red Panda? I mean, I don't know how he's moving across. You see him like slide. It's clearly on wheels or something, on some platform, or maybe I don't even know what he's standing on to get that tall.
And then little people come out of his flat of his butt. I mean, how does that work?
Well, I don't think the butt is in the front.
No.
And people are coming out that giant skirt. Yeah, I don't know. You think he's getting some action underneath there? Is that what's happening?
I don't know if we can need to go that far, but
I think
that sure would put a big smile.
Yeah, you think those are kids or just really small adults? That would change the trajectory of my joke in a big way.
Those are little kids.
I don't know.
They're like the Lilliputians from The Wizard of Oz.
The who?
The Lilliputians.
Oh, the Lilliputians?
Sorry. I don't think the Lilliputians were The Wizard of Oz. I think they were Land of the Giants or something like that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you don't know these old. You've not seen a Nutcracker yet?
I've never seen the Nutcracker.
You've seen it on TV.
No, never. I've seen Wizard of Oz. I haven't seen it enough, I guess, to know what you're talking about. Yeah, so CB sent us this picture. Now we got, so that's Fozzie right there, for those of you tuned in. Now we got, it's very blurry, but there's Vince Young as Mother Ginger from a few years ago.
That's a big chick right there.
It is. Yeah, it's a 6'6", 250-plus pound chick.
Yeah, that looks like the one that is at the McDonald's during the Texas OU weekend who always says, hey, you got a sweet-looking earring. Is that real?
Yeah, that
looks more like the lady that comes up to me at like 5:30 in the morning.
Is McDonald's
getting ready to open up, and she says, hey, is there something I can get for you? And I'm like, no, there's nothing you can get for me.
So you would do this for free?
Yeah, of course. That looks like fun.
Oh, man. I just don't think I would. I don't think I would. Even for the show, and I do just about anything for the show.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I would try to call somebody, but again, I think it's just you're chosen. I don't think you get to sign up for anything or request anything.
This is sort of like the Women in Radio Awards that I would never get. It's been going on for 5,000 years here, and Bobby Bones ends up winning every year because he's a nice, all-around nice guy.
Well, you hate women, so that's why you're not going to win.
No, I don't get that. I don't. I've got daughters. Title IX is very big. Say nice things about Kim Mulkey, you know.
You say that you're trying to get with Kim Mulkey.
No.
Is that a bad thing to say about her?
Is that a bad thing all of a sudden?
It's not an insult, I guess, but I don't know if it's the most like female forward progressive thing you could say about her work.
Sorry about that, Sharon.
She'll be in town this year or early next year. You want to, you know, last year you turned down the chance to catch Texas LSU at the Mood.
I need people to show up. They do show up to women's basketball games, though, right?
Oh, yeah. More people are going to the women's games than what we saw last night against
the
French culinary powerhouse that is Lemoyne.
That's even embarrassing for Texas right there. That's what you brought to that game.
Not great.
Just friends of family. Is that all that was? Family of the basketball team at the game?
I think so. Maybe a few fans were there. Again, we said it like it's – if you've never been to a Texas basketball game, if you've got kids who have never been and you want to take
the whole
them,
neighborhood,
go ahead. Sendtextickets.com. Get you some seats. Monday, they're playing Maryland, Eastern Shore.
There's another one. You can take that's a great time to take the neighborhood kids and say you did something for the holidays for them.
We're in on that. We are absolutely in on that right there. So there you go. Fozzie, I hope you're okay, man.
Yeah, I do too.
I guess it's an honor, but Fozzie is okay. That's just a weird picture that I won't be able to get out of my head.
Anymore. I know. It's going to bother you all day today.
Yeah, man, Vince. I'm just going to text him a picture of that and be like, dude, thanks for the memories.
Yeah, really, forever.
Oh, my God. We'll get Fozzie on the show soon. It's been too long since we've talked to him. All right. I do want to bring it back to the current Texas football team, Buck. I mentioned a moment ago. I'm trying to. And we're all looking for reasons to be optimistic for 2026 with the Longhorns, with sports, with life, with anything, you know. Ryan Wingo he's an interesting case study. I think Ryan Wingo was the most frustrating player on this Texas football team this year because we know how good he is. We saw at times how good he is, but we also saw the issues with drops all season long. He had a 57.5% catch rate this year. 50 catches coming on 87 targets. Now, those other 37 weren't drops, but he did have 7 dropped passes this year, which was second most in the SEC amongst wide receivers. I mean, anybody who watched the Longhorns play this season knows that that was an issue for Ryan Wingo all season long. But he still led Texas in receptions.
Sure.
Led Texas in receiving yards, led Texas in touchdown receptions, and he was named as a second-team All-SEC wide receiver last week. So that's the frustration, right? He's so good. If he just figures out the dropsies.
If he just figures out that he's a receiver and he has to catch the ball, that's what you do?
Yeah. They do call them pass catchers, Buck.
Yes.
It's not in the job droppers. Title. Yeah, not pass droppers. No. The job description says pass catchers. That's what we need you to do right there. Ryan Wingo, here's the positive thing. Here's what I hope gives you some confidence that he can turn it around next year. Xavier Worthy, now a really good player with the Kansas City Chiefs, one of the best receivers in Texas Longhorn history. His sophomore season back in 2022, he also led Texas in receptions and receiving yards and touchdowns. And he also had 7 drops that year. Remember at the end of that season, were a huge issue for him. Some Texas fans were calling him an NIL merchant. And we don't even want him here if he's going to keep dropping passes like that. And he just doesn't care about Texas, this, that, and the other. Well, the following season, 75 catches, 1,000 yards, less drops. He helped the Longhorns win the Big 12 and make the college football playoff, and he ended up as a first-round pick by Kansas City.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you really have to focus in on, but as a receiver, that is your number one thing, is to catch the ball. You know, Wingo is so good at, once he has the ball in his hands, and how good he runs with the ball, you know, how explosive he is. I mean, maybe his focus just hadn't been on the simple part, you know, and maybe it's been on the running part, and he's done more things about after the catch, making you miss, and he's taking the cat. I always said I thought he'd take the catch for granted. You know, he turns his head up the field wondering what's his next move going to be. But there have been times when I've seen him look the ball in, and, dude, he still dropped it. I mean, yeah. He has his eye on the ball, and he just dropped the ball. His hands look like feet going up for the ball, you know?
You're right, 100%. And like you said, we know what he can do with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's dynamic. He's explosive. He's a home run, a threat every time he touches the ball, right?
Obviously, the angst that you are as a fan when the ball goes to him, and it's, you know, I remember when Jordan Whittington was here, that dude, when the ball went to him, that thing was going to be sucked up like a vacuum cleaner if it came near him. Some of these other guys, it's automatic. It's not, you wonder about the run after catch. With this guy, you don't worry about the run after catch. It's the catch itself. So he's going to have to do things in practice to make himself and just regular catching every day, you know, constantly looking the ball in, constantly worrying about the catch first and the run later. The run should be the natural part. Yeah. You know, it should be for him. It's kind of the opposite. For a lot of receivers, the catching part is the easy. What you're going to do after the ball is the hard part. It's the opposite with this dude.
Right. Yeah, I never got nervous when a screen pass was thrown to Ryan Wingo.
Yeah, I got excited. That up. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, Texas did it, the first play of the game in like 4 games in a row.
And by the way, those aren't the easiest ones. When that guy shoots the ball out there, and you know there's a couple guys a couple yards away from you, and you're depending on your guys to block for you before you get your head taken off, maybe.
Yeah, anything behind the line of scrimmage was good, but
yeah,
like past the line of scrimmage, Buck. It's like when Wingo had to go run a route and then catch the ball. It was like you weren't sure.
Yeah, when he came across the field on a lot of those slants and crossing routes that he did, some was the quarterback in his early part of this year where he wasn't totally on, and there's certain spots that you start looking around if that ball isn't on you in a hurry and you've got to reach out and people are coming from the other side. You know, you start to think about it a little bit then. Mm-hmm. Down the field, when they were throwing them bombs, that's why I was always going to catch this one. Is this going to be off of his fingertips? Does he have enough confidence to just run under it and just move along? Those are the ones that worried me. After a while, some of the balls that he caught were okay. But I always worried about the ball over the shoulder for some reason. I don't know if maybe he can't see or whatever it is, but for a guy who has all kinds of coordination, his hand-eye coordination at times looked horrible.
Yeah, it was the deep balls. But again, I'll use the word frustrating again, or maybe I'll use the word annoying this time. All of the crossing routes.
Yes.
Like, again, he's so good with the ball in his hands. You would think just a simple mesh concept or a crosser over the middle, like that's an easy throw for the quarterback. That's an easy catch for the receiver. And then
they have a lot of those in their offense.
Yeah, it's a huge staple of the Stark offense. So you catch those, you're basically in a full speed sprint already as you're catching it. So you just keep going and cut up field like that. There was a big drop on that in the Ohio State game. And there were drops all season long on those simple crossers, which, my God, if Wingo can just figure that out,
right?
The deep shot. I mean, those would be great too, of course. But if he could just catch those crossing routes, dude, this year he would have gone for 250 more yards.
Easily, yeah, because some of those are touchdowns with the way he runs.
Exactly. So that's like, oh, my God. It's just the chemistry. Early on, it was the chemistry between Arch and Wingo that just clearly wasn't there. And a lot of that was on the quarterback, right? Arch clearly was not the same guy in the first half of the year as he was in the second half of the year. But that play, that concept never got where it should have gotten because guy just wasn't catching him.
But Wingo's consistency was never consistent, no matter what it was. And no matter who was throwing to him, you know, he just is – that's just something that he's got to get over. If he's going to play at the next level, they don't want you if you can't catch.
I know. That's a thing. Like he's a great athlete, and that athleticism, someone's going to want him. Someone's going to fall in love with that. But yeah, for Ryan Wingo to be Xavier Worthy and turn into a first round pick, which he felt like when Texas signed him, one of the best.
Oh yeah. That body. Yeah. That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
Yeah. He felt like he had the chance to be a 3-and-done first round pick. He's not going to go in the first round if he keeps dropping as much as he does.
Well, no, because everybody gets frustrated. The coach gets frustrated calling plays to him. The quarterback gets frustrated throwing the ball to him. So, I mean, this isn't a coaching thing. That's his problem.
Yeah.
You want people to get the ball to you. You got to catch the ball when it gets to you. It just, you know, your quarterback gets frustrated too. You look over and see that guy, and it's not a quick screen, and he's your number one target. You start to think, where's my number two? Because if I throw this ball here, is this guy going to catch it? So you don't want your quarterback thinking that way. You want your quarterback to feel safe that you're going to, you know, I can just go back to those guys that were here with Quinn Ewers. Those guys caught everything. They caught balls that weren't really on target, that were behind them. They were just going to make the catch. Now, and they were pretty good runners after the catch, too. They weren't slouches once they got the ball in their hands.
Yeah.
So they could do it both. And I would think at this part of his career, that shouldn't be the problem.
No.
Why is it the problem?
Right. And look, I mean, I think Derek's commenting here. Like, yeah, I mean, Ryan Wingo's not an elite route runner right now.
No,
there's other parts of his game that need to clean up. But again, if he just didn't drop the ball this year, he would have gone for nearly 1,000 yards.
Yeah, you wouldn't have said anything about his routes if he would have caught 96% of the balls that hit him in the hands.
Right.
You never said anything. You would have said, this guy is just fine.
Yeah, Wingo, again, 50 catches coming on 87 targets. It's a 57.5% catch rate, according to Pro Football Focus. Xavier Worthy, in that 2022 season, his second to last year in Austin, 59 catches on 113 targets. That's a catch rate of 52.2%. So the Longhorns this year actually had more success throwing it to Ryan Wingo than they did with Quinn Ewers throwing to Xavier Worthy. I mean, it felt like Xavier Worthy was by far the best receiver Texas had that year. But it really felt like Sark was trying to force feed him every single game. And yeah, it just wasn't efficient.
We talked about how his hands weren't consistent enough either.
Right. Yeah. And I like, look, Xavier Worthy, again, we mentioned he went for over 1,000 yards his final season. He still had five drops, better than seven. Yes. Than the year before. But like, so that's the Ryan Wingo is not going to go through 2026 with like one drop. It's just not, you don't go from that bad to that good at it. It's just not going to happen. He's never going to have the best hands in the sport, but can the drop number go down a little bit, and just can the efficiency when Texas throws the ball his way
right. Go
up a lot? If it can, this offense has a really good chance to be a hell of a lot.
By the way, we all know what a good play is on defense and what a drop is. Cause I mean, we've seen him. These aren't good plays that somebody's making. They're hitting him in the hands, both hands.
Yeah. Well, I'm not making up. Like, Pro Football Focus is generally pretty lenient, too, on their drop stats.
Sure.
So you could probably argue that Wingo had 9 or 10 instead of 7 this year. But I'm looking at their numbers, so this is not my opinion on how many drops he had. Like, these are the drops that he is credited with having this year.
Too many.
Yeah, it's too many. It's just too many. And again, it's frustrating because you know how good he is. You can't take him off the field. If you're a bad if you're me out there and you're dropping a bunch of passes, hey, park your ass on the bench. We don't need you. But because you know how good Wingo is, like, Sark, you'd be silly to not make him a big part of your game plan.
Oh, no, you have to. Yeah, there's no doubt you have to. But there's, you know, that exit meeting right there, you got a lot to talk about. He and Chris Jackson have a lot of work to do. You know, there's a lot of catchy catch about to go on.
Yeah.
We'll Jugs machine goes home with him. He stays on campus. He and Arch are throwing the ball a lot. They're not going to camps or they're getting together and catching the ball. And it doesn't matter who throws it to you. You just got to catch. You got to be consistent with the catch. You can get the neighborhood kid to fire a couple balls at you. Just got to, you know, your hand eye coordination just has to be there.
Right. I was hoping with the LASIK surgery that would help Ryan Wingo with the hand-eye stuff. Not really the case. I was also, you know, when Arch Manning, the picture that went viral with Arch Manning going up to St. Louis, Ryan Wingo's hometown, and hanging out in the hood, being a part of Ryan Wingo's camp and just hanging out there for a couple of days. Like, it's like, these guys
throwing Nerf balls at him or something.
Maybe. I was like, the chemistry between these two is about to be through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect that for folks, he's not going to catch less balls going into his junior year. They're going to fire this ball to him. He's going to be a big part of it. So he has to be consistent. I mean, if he wants to go to the next level, like I said, the next level, if you can't catch, you don't get to play. You know, it's like Jaden Blue. Dude, if you're not the runner with the speed, they're not going to mess around with you unless you're catching them bombs out there just going past people. They're not going to keep handing it off to you if you fumble.
Jaden Blue, I don't know what that guy's going to do. We'll see if he's even on the Cowboys next year.
Boy, that guy's too valuable of an athlete. Now, I don't know what it is mentally. Just the one run I saw him run looked like a guy who was frozen in time. That looked scary. He looked scared to me. And you can't be scared in the NFL.
No, that's not going to go too well for you.
No.
If you are. So, yeah, look, I mean, I don't know if Texas is going to go to the portal for a receiver. Like, I get why people want that to happen. Of course, if you can go get a Cam Coleman type, then, yeah, you take a chance on it. But a couple of things. Number one, you know, any elite receiver is going to be courted by a bunch of teams.
For sure.
And number two, you've got a lot of other needs on your roster. So you got to spend more on the offensive line than some other teams do. You got to spend more on running back than some other teams do. Now you need some linebacker help. Like, wide receiver is not your biggest need.
No, it's not. You got too many players here. You just recruited the best class in college football a year ago.
Right.
Are you willing to say that, oh, we made some mistakes? Well, that's a lot of mistakes for that class if they're not ready to go by next year. That definitely is on a lot of people who thought that class was – you know, I was waiting to see some of those guys emerge, not just one of them, but a couple of them push guys at times or just at least get in games for certain plays. We didn't see that. So have they made a mistake on some of these, you know, on some of these freshmen that they thought five-star, they fell into the five-star deal and they just didn't turn out? I mean, you know, I'm calling Chris Jackson a over the last couple of years a really good coach, or did that dude just have some really good talent? And he did have some really good talent.
I don't know if Chris Jackson will be back next year. Again, his contract expires in January. So whether it's his decision or Texas's decision, like,
doesn't that seem like one that should have been signed and let's move along here?
I don't know. I didn't think the play of the wide receivers was like amazing this year.
No,
I think Chris Jackson's a good coach. I think most of what he's done at Texas has been very positive, but I don't know. Maybe Steve Sarkisian doesn't feel that way. And I think if he was coming back, a deal would have been signed already.
Yeah, I mean, right after the season, you know, you go into the head coach, and if that guy thinks you're a great coach, you just get signed.
Right.
Let's move along. Let's work with guys. Let's make them better. But you don't have this waiting around. What the hell are you waiting for? Does he have other offers, or is he thinking about something else? That's the only thing that makes me think that thing hasn't gotten signed. I don't think it's because he's not a good coach.
They could have done it last year too, right? Last offseason, sure. They could have given him an extension without having him going into this kind of lame duck final year of his deal. So I don't know. Yeah, there could be changes made with the coaching staff at wide receiver. And I don't know. Maybe I'm telling Longhorn Nation to brace themselves a little bit in case Texas doesn't bring in that elite receiver that a bunch of you want, because they have a lot invested in that room.
Yes.
And I think they believe that Ryan Wingo can be the elite receiver that you're looking for. Of course, it doesn't hurt to have two. I'm not going to sit here and complain if Texas brings in a beast on the outside. Well, I'll be excited about it, but I think brace yourself that they're going to be looking in other directions because they feel good enough about what they have.
Well, I think the other kid's going to be the leading receiver anyway. So
who's the other kid? They got a lot of
Mosley. I think he's going to be the guy that they, you know, once he has a full year, you know, and he's healed up pretty well, I think he will get, I mean, his hand-eye coordination are pretty good. I think he'll be a guy that Arch will trust to throw the ball to. Wingo will still be a big play guy, but if he's inconsistent with his catching, it ain't going to him first unless it's a quick screen and you know it's got to get out there to him.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big Emmett Mosley fan too. I still think Ryan Wingo, if he stays healthy, knock on wood, he's the leading receiver. He's your number one guy next year. But Emmett Mosley is going to play a ton. He's going to be a huge part of the offense. Like, I mean, you would love those guys. We're making a Xavier Worthy comparison. You would love Ryan Wingo to be Xavier Worthy and Emmett Mosley to be Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah.
Something like that you had in 2023. A really good 1-2 punch that helped you win a conference and get you to the playoff. And both of those guys were drafted in the top 50. Like, that'd be fun.
You know, they all have good enough speed. Even Dartmouth has pretty good speed once he catches the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, they all have good speed. None of those guys are slow dudes.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I'm trying to think. I shouldn't be. Yeah, I don't think any of those guys are slow dudes. Most of those guys are like track stars in high school, too.
Yeah, they're pretty good athletes that can catch, but you got to catch it first.
Got to catch it first. All right. There's your very optimistic Ryan Wingo comparison right there. Can Ryan Wingo in 2026 be what Xavier Worthy was in 2023?
Yeah, he wants it to be his last year, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do, too. You know, I want to have my cake and eat it, too, I guess. I'd love Wingo to go for 1,000 yards and then say, I like Texas so much, I'm coming back.
Sure.
But I'd rather him be really good and go pro than him not be good and come back for his senior season.
That's true, because by that time, boy, oh, boy, if he's still inconsistent, as I said, the pros don't like guys that drop balls because that's what they get paid for, is to catch the ball.
At that time, yeah, he might get surpassed on the depth chart if we're having these conversations next offseason.
But once this group has a liking for you at a position, you're pretty much in with them.
Yeah. Well, if there's a new wide receivers coach, though, maybe that changes things.
That's true. But Sark won't let that happen with that big body and looking at that film of that guy catching quick screens.
You're right. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Coda text line, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. Would love to get y'all's thoughts on everything we're talking about all show long. We got some interesting Joel Klatt sound talking about the college football playoff. You know, Fox Sports lead college football analyst is catching some heat for what he had to say. Also, could Quinn Ewers be taking over in Miami? Get to those stories in a moment. But first, Buck, how about a few more sponsor shout outs?
Say hello to our friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company. You need that burger. You got to have that burger for lunch today. This is the place. Hat Creek Burger Company, folks. Double with cheese, banana pudding shake. It's all about the burger. It's all about the shake and the fries. Whether you want sweet potato fries or regular fries, they've got it at Hat Creek Burger. They also make a good chicken sandwich, BK.
They do.
They do. They have a really nice chicken sandwich at Hat Creek Burger. So check that out, folks. Some locations have breakfast available to you at starting at 7 a.m. And mom and dad, if you want to hit that margarita machine, they've got it at Hat Creek Burger while the kittens are running around on their wonderful playscapes there. Love Hat Creek Burger.
Yes, indeed. And they've got their queso menu back for a limited time.
Nice.
Queso fries, queso tots. They load them up with queso and bacon. Does it get better than that?
You said bacon?
I said bacon.
Love bacon.
Those may be the two best food groups in the world, queso and bacon.
Yes.
Get you some at Hat Creek. Plus, they've got chili, and they've got the seasonal candy cane crunch shake.
Yeah, I got to have some chili. See, you people ruined me on my Wendy's chili. Now I won't have that. I got too many of those. People tell me with the chilies, the leftover meat and all that. That's not true. Please try to tell me something good about Wendy's chili that I can still go there and have.
Don't
that.
Go to Wendy's. Get Hat Creek. You don't have to worry about someone's thumb being in your chili.
Oh, see, there you go, too. Okay.
I'm not making that up. That's a real thing that happened.
Like a real thumb?
A real thumb.
Oh, my.
We're going to have to rehash this story.
I don't think I could have the chili if that were truly something that happened with the nail in it and all.
A full human finger. Yeah, don't worry about that at Hat Creek.
Burger. Dude, I would rather have the lady in the window shoot at me than find a thumb in my chili.
Yeah, I think I would too. I would too. Shout out to them. Shout out to McCall Custom Homes. Hey, if you're looking to upgrade your home in the new year, maybe a New Year's resolution for you. A new kitchen, new bathroom, want to add some new life to your outdoor space. Maybe you've been traveling this holiday season and you're tired of it. You want people to come to your place instead. Well, upgrade your home with McCall Custom Homes. They do everything, and they've been doing everything for a long time here in Central Texas. Father-son duo with more than 40 years of experience. And all of that experience, again, has happened right here in our own backyard. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Tons of five-star reviews online. The Buck and Rodney have both had work done at their places by McCall. We trust them. We think you should too. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. They're offering free estimates right now to TSU listeners. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com, or you can reach out to Mike McCall directly, 512-633-9580.
Now, what about your Walmart? What's happened at Walmart?
Let me get to that story here.
Yeah, I need that story.
All right. Well, look, I've done some Walmart shopping in my life.
Yes, you have, and you don't like it.
I didn't say I don't like it.
You feel bad about yourself once you go in?
Well, that's the place where I go when I am feeling bad about myself, because it makes me feel good about myself.
Oh, my God.
If I'm having a bad day, if things aren't going my way, what do you say? I'll go to Walmart. And I'll look around.
Do you buy groceries in there? I know they have a grocery department.
Yeah, I do buy groceries in there.
Oh.
Produce, I'm a little skeptical of.
Yeah, I am too.
But I'll buy groceries in there. Yeah, prepackaged stuff. Why not? Come on.
Yeah, I guess that. But I don't like buy their bananas or tomatoes. I don't buy that produce there.
I've done it before. I'll probably do it again.
Oh, yeah.
I got to be really down on my luck if I'm doing stuff like that. But no, look, yeah, I mean, Walmart, it's massive. It's a global icon. There
are yes.
So many Walmart locations all over the world, and it's a huge brand, love it or hate it. It's obviously one of the most successful grocery store chains we've ever had. Well, some people don't like Walmart, Buck. Some people have their reasons to not go to Walmart. That's why they shop elsewhere. I might have my reason to not go to Walmart.
Uh-oh.
We go to Mississippi for this story. But unfortunately, we also go to Texas for this story, because this is a Texas woman committing the crime in the state of Mississippi. So we do have some ties to the Lone Star State with this one. Buck, I'm going to pull up a picture of this woman. This is 33-year-old Camille Benson on your screen in front of you if you're watching us. Buck, would you, for the folks tuned in on the app, would you like to describe exactly what this 33-year-old woman, Camille Benson, looks like?
She's got a lot of dye in her hair. She's got curly hair that's been dyed blonde. I'm going to say she's either Hispanic or African-American, and maybe part of a mixer, you know? But
okay.
Okay.
About a couple of tattoos on her face. You're going to leave those out? That feels like a big detail here when describing who this woman is.
I really can't see the tattoos on my screen. Are there? Oh, over her left, her right eyebrow there. Yeah.
Over the right eyebrow. She also has some little stars under her left eye. Not the teardrops, but little stars.
Does she have something across her nose?
I can't tell if that's like just
Is that from being punched in the face? Is that a bruise?
I don't know exactly what that is there. Well, 33-year-old Camille Benson was arrested earlier this week and charged with attempted mayhem. I realized like the Allstate.
Like the commercial, like the guy on the commercials? Yeah.
I didn't realize that was like an actual charge. She was charged with mayhem after customers at a Walmart in Biloxi, Mississippi, reported finding razor blades in loaves of bread at the store. This woman was arrested for allegedly shoving razor blades into loaves of bread at two Mississippi Walmart locations, according to authorities. Walmart employees told cops that a customer first reported finding a blade stashed in a loaf purchased from Walmart on December 5th. A second customer also reported finding a razor blade on December 8th.
Yeah, she's the lady that puts razor blades in apples at Halloween, probably, yeah.
Is that a thing?
That was a thing at one time. People putting straight, you know, razor blades in, you know, sticking them down in apples. Oh. Kids taking a bite. I mean, yeah, that's a sicko.
It's a bad bit right there.
That's a bad bit. There's a bad bit sticking out in the bread, too.
Yeah. The police department, I don't know why it took so long, but the police department was alerted of this stunt on Monday. And there's some surveillance in images, easy for me to say, that
she never got to come back a second time, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. And here is, I don't know if she did this on one trip or two, but again, multiple customers who purchased loaves of bread on different days found the razor blades in the bread. So she could have done this all in one swing, right? She could have just brought 10 razor blades in there and just, boom, opened up 10 loaves of bread and stuck them in there. I don't know how you get away with that. I feel like the bread's going to open, but maybe she covered it up to the point where just customers, you know, you're not investigating your products too much. You're not really looking for razor blades when you're buying bread at the store.
No, I haven't. The last time I went to HEB, I've not done that.
I just don't think you have to worry about this at HEB. Like, this is why it's an anti-Walmart story here. Like, okay, this would not happen at HEB.
This is what you get at Walmart, huh?
This is only what you get at Walmart. This wouldn't happen at Whole Foods. This wouldn't happen at Costco. This wouldn't happen at Target. This kind of thing only happens at Walmart. She got something wrong with her nose. It looks like a bandage on her nose.
I'm telling you, somebody jacked her up, and she's mad at the world.
Yeah, something's wrong with that. I don't know what that is, but I don't really like it. But yeah, she was arrested, and the police say they do not believe any other stores have been targeted. But again, it's two. She got the two Walmart stores in the span of a couple of days, and
I don't buy anything from there except for flowers, garden tools, or something like that. I don't buy stuff that I can consume into my body.
So you don't buy razor blades?
Some Walmarts have like Mickey D's in there. I ain't eating in that.
You don't? Do you eat at Mickey D's anywhere these days?
Not really. I'm not with them. You know, I did get a 6-piece McNugget a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, and it was probably delicious.
With some fries.
How was it?
It was okay. It was okay. I didn't, you know, but it's not like that comes in my mind. I'd go to your other place, and get myself some crispy tacos first before I'd go there.
Yeah.
I love eating those in my car, sitting in my car and eating crispy tacos while driving.
So Shelby from Sue Patrick asked, what do the stars represent? Because, you know, the teardrops under the eye, the teardrop tattoos under the eye represent that you killed somebody. And that's how you... Mm-hmm. Show the world that you killed somebody. And if it's filled in or if it's open determines whether or not you have remorse for the person that you have murdered. I looked up, what do the stars under the eyes mean? According to small business Google, a star tattoo on the face generally symbolizes hope, guidance, dreams, and aspirations. You see that with this woman, Buck?
No, I think those stars are from when somebody punched her in the nose. She was seeing stars and decided to keep those stars right by her eyeballs there.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So there's your Walmart story. So I don't know, Buck. Do I still go to Walmart after that?
I still never know why you go there anyway to feel good about yourself.
Well, man, that's why. I see people like that walking around, and I'm like, all right.
You also see some fine, outstanding citizens going in there to try to get a good buy, don't you? You
don't see a lot of those. There are plenty of normal people who go into Walmart, but there are more abnormal people that go in there than just about anywhere else in the world, dude. I mean, it's not quite airport people watching because nothing is, but it's some good people watching at a Walmart, man.
Like the ones that come in barefoot.
See some barefoot. You see a lot of pajamas.
Yeah, what's the deal? What's the deal with the pajamas when people go out in their pajamas? I saw a man in his pajamas thinking it was okay to just to be at Home Depot. Why is that a thing now? I know. Listen, you can't fool me. I know what pajama bottoms look like.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm with you on that. I don't think that's a great bit. I'm cool with pajamas. I'm cool with being comfortable, but you're going out of the house. Put some clothes on, huh?
Yeah, really. I see ladies with their little outfits on that are pajama. Like, that's not your outdoor outfit. Why are you wearing that? That's at the house.
I don't know.
When you're making me a sandwich.
That's pajama wearing fit right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're making a sandwich?
Making a sandwich, bringing me some chips and some chili.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm going to Hat Creek for some chili. You've talked me into that.
Let's do it. Why not? Come on. I'll join you. Let's go. That's, you know, with the pajamas, like, all right, sometimes people wear pajamas when they go out. You go to Walmart and you don't want those people wearing those. Like, cover up a little bit more. And some pajamas obviously do cover up, but some of them don't. And there's a lot of your skin that I'm seeing that I would prefer
say this at Walmart. I do see a lot of ladies that show a lot of skin that shouldn't be showing parts of that skin.
Yeah.
There. Yes.
Yeah. No, we don't like to body shame unless we do. Just, you know, cover up.
A lot of Fozzie Whitaker looking chicks I see at Walmart.
Fozzie Whitaker is better looking than some of the chicks you see at Walmart, you know?
Wow.
All right. So there you go. There's a Walmart story. I'll be there tomorrow, Walmart. I can never
quit you. Sure, of course.
I can never quit you.
Wow.
Till we get a grocery store sponsor on this show.
Man.
I'll keep going back.
Well, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, folks, it's going to be packed.
Yeah. How it goes. About
10 o'clock now, they're all packed.
Hey, if you're going to be driving around, but you want to be doing it in comfort and style, head out to Covert Bee Cave. How about that? Sure. Get you a new whip this holiday season. Speaking of great holiday gifts, you can give for a loved one or you can gift yourself. Covert Bee Cave has the best selection of new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And look, they also have everything in their inventory online at covertbeecave.com. So if you just want to do some online shopping before you make the drive out there to make your purchase, of course, you can do that. But they've got fantastic people. They've got unmatched service. And what do they say about those covert prices, Buck?
Nobody beats a covert deal. Not now, not ever. Somebody says that, hey, only thing at Walmart's are $4 black t-shirts.
There you go. You can get some great deals. They got those rollback prices. That little smiley face guy. He's still out there?
The only thing I see at Walmart's are those commercials I see on TV that you can get at your nearest Walmart, that you don't have to go to Amazon. You can actually go to Walmart and pick those up.
Yeah. Well, a lot of places are doing the curbside pickup these days. Walmart's one of them. I think, you know, a lot of the grocery stores do delivery these days too.
Oh yeah.
So if you don't want to leave, you don't have to leave your house. Like, you don't have to leave your house at all in this world.
I got to meet the people.
Oh yeah. I mean, you should. It feels like it'd be depressing if you're just staying at home 24/7, 365, but you could get everything brought to you nowadays. Your groceries, your food, your TVs, your everything. Can come right to your place.
Yeah, I went to the Fresh Market, and that to me is central. I actually went to Central Market last week at the at Westgate. I hadn't been there in a long time. That should be, used to be the place I'd go, but they got a little pricey. And then, of course, now HEB is straight up my place, but I'll go to Whole Foods. But I haven't gone to Central Market. When I go into their fresh produce area, I always feel good. It makes me feel good when I walk in there.
There you go.
It's like being at the farmer's market there at the Burger Center on Saturday mornings.
I'm glad you feel that way.
Yeah, which you haven't been to yet, and you need to go.
No, 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 no. I will never go to a farmer's market. Mount on that.
Come on, my God.
Stand my ground on that. A lot of y'all say, you know, when I started dating my girlfriend, a lot of y'all are like, oh, it won't be long. You'll be going to farmer's markets every Saturday. No. Man's got to stand his ground. There are places where I will stand my ground, and that is one of them right there.
Farmer's market with your own little sack, little dog on a rope,
no, walking around. I don't want my sack ever at a farmer's market. My sack somewhere else. Thank you very much. All right. Buck, Joel Klatt. Actually, you know, let's get to this first because this has a Texas tie-in. Yesterday, Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel opened the door for the Dolphins to bench Tua Tagovailoa. Miami lost to Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. They got crushed. It wasn't close. In the post-game interview, McDaniel was asked about potentially making a quarterback change, and he said, nah, I don't want to make any rash or short-sighted decisions. So it sounded like, all right, Tua's still going to be their guy. But yesterday at his media availability in South Beach, he said, quote, I think the quarterback play last night was not good enough. So for me, everything is on the table, end quote.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been good enough. They've just been running the ball.
Is it Quinn Ewers' time in Miami? He and Zach Wilson are the two other quarterbacks on the Dolphins active roster.
I don't want to see Zach attack, that's for sure.
Miami, yeah, we kind of already know what Zach Wilson is. Miami is 6-8 right now. I believe they've been eliminated from playoff contention. They've got three games left. Cincinnati at home, Tampa Bay at home, and New England on the road.
Woo.
Even if they were in playoff contention, they're not winning all of those games anyways. Could we see Quinn Ewers, the seventh-round rookie out of the University of Texas, make his or get his first NFL start this week?
I would say this week, yeah. Do it this week.
I'd like to see it. And you know what? There is no reason for Tua Tagovailoa to be the starting quarterback on the Miami Dolphins next year.
Well, dude, first of all, the temperatures in Pittsburgh, he's 0 for 1,000 when it's 40 or below, and it was like 18 degrees. Should have known before kickoff, why are we putting this guy in here?
That's a great point. You know, they kind of had to because, like, they were still in the playoff hunt, technically.
Yeah, I guess.
So you got to stick with your starting quarterback in that spot. But, yeah, Tua didn't play well, and he was caught on camera after the game, like, laughing with Steelers players. And for some, that doesn't matter, right? The game's over, whatever. Right. You could shake hands. You could smile and take pictures. But when you play like that and it's the game that eliminates your team from playoff contention, that's obviously not something that's going to sit too well with the other guys in that locker room and with that fan base. So I just don't know. I mean, I know Tua is under contract, but that guy, he's good enough to be a starter in this league, but he's not good enough to win you a Super Bowl. I think that's been proven. So if I'm Miami, I am seeing what I have with Quinn Ewers in these last three games.
Why not?
And, you know, it's three-game sample size. I get it. We're talking about a seventh-round pick, so the odds are stacked against Quinn. But if he plays really well in three games, then, all right, maybe we'll see what he's got next year. And if he sucks, then we're going to have a super high draft pick in 2027 and take a quarterback.
For sure.
The Dolphins, you're not going to be good enough to win anything of note with Tua, and you're not going to be bad enough to get, like, a top-three draft pick.
No, because they run the ball too well with A-Chain.
Right. So you're sort of in purgatory right now. You're right. Yeah, they got Ollie Gordon. They've got Devon Achane. They've got some good running backs. I mean, it's a pretty good roster that they have.
Waddle's on that team. They're still missing Tyreek Hill. I mean, they're missing that dude. So and who knows when he's coming back or what he's like when he does come back or what he does, you know?
Yeah. Tyreek Hill obviously out for the year, and I don't know if Miami wants him. I don't know if he wants Miami there. That whole situation is a mess. But
yes, it is.
I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Dolphins, look, of course, I'm a little biased. I want to see Quinn Ewers play, but even if it wasn't Quinn Ewers, if I'm like running that team, I'm like, all right, I know the guy that we have isn't good enough. It's like what Arizona did with Kyler Murray. It's like, this guy's not the answer. We're not going to play him anymore. And they're putting Jacoby Brissett out there, who we know he's not the answer. We knew that before he started playing. But they're like, Jacoby Brissett gives us a better chance of losing than Kyler Murray does. Yeah, so we know we don't have our franchise guy, and we know we're not going to win games that we probably should win.
That is a bad, that's a bad team, man.
Yeah, it's worked out. I think it's worked out well for the Cardinals because they've lost six games in a row.
Like, and they beat the Dallas Cowboys?
They did beat the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys are not a very good football team either. But, you know, right now Arizona's got the sixth pick in the draft, and they could creep in. I mean, they're one game back of first place or last place, depending on how you spin it. So if they lose out, they could end up with a top three pick, and then you could maybe get your quarterback to turn your team around.
Yeah, you get Mendoza and send Kyler Murray packing.
Yeah, the tank for Mendoza is going to be interesting. Right now the Giants have the first pick. I don't think they're taking a quarterback because of Jackson Dart. Raiders have the number two pick. That's where Mendoza would likely go. But again, 3 weeks left in the season, there's a lot that can change. I mean, you've got Tennessee. Tennessee's not taking a quarterback. Cleveland's picking fourth. They're going to take another QB in the draft?
No, they're not going to do that.
They did draft two last year.
They're not going to do that. They're no.
Have you seen enough from Shador?
But you can count on them to do something stupid.
Yeah.
Just like you can count on the Dallas Cowboys to take an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah, that'll happen. The Cowboys, by the way, if the season ended today, they would have the 14th and the 23rd picks in the first round.
Oh, they're definitely taking – they're definitely getting an old lineman somewhere out of that. Or you should say they should take everybody on defense. They're going to take an offensive lineman. You know, they feel like that's going to be safe for them. It has been. It has been relatively safe for them. They'll get a guy from Georgia or Alabama, you know, and say, okay, we had to have this guy.
They just don't, though. They really have to have guys on defense, don't they?
Yes, they need to have all their guys on defense.
That would be nice right there. Yeah, Cowboys going down. Texans trending in the right direction. They'd have the 22nd pick in the draft. But again, the Texans, I think the Texans have a shot. I know Chip's been saying he thinks the Texans are going to make the Super Bowl out of the AFC this year. I mean, that conference feeling as wide open as it is, I don't think that's out of the question. The Texans are
that defense.
They are, you know, I guess Denver's the hottest team in football. They've won 11 in a row, but the Texans have the second longest active win streak at 6 right now. That defense is great. CJ Stroud's back and healthy. And again, I just, you know, Denver's good. They're playing great. New England's good. They're playing great. I don't know if I'm like super sold on either of those teams.
Yeah, I like the way the Texans are pushing the ball down the field now. With all their receivers, those kids from Iowa State starting to play a big role. The one kid that's the punt returner, he's doing a great job punt returning for them, you know, changing field positions. The tall kid is playing well. They're all playing well.
Yeah, they are. And, man, I think of Buffalo, too, and Jake says it. If the Bills don't get to the Super Bowl this year, like Josh Allen is not going to have to deal with Patrick Mahomes, who's been his manager, and he's not going to have to deal with Joe Burrow, who's also been a problem for him. Like, I get it. The Bills have some questions. They haven't looked as good as they've looked in recent years. But if they can't get over the hump this year, are they ever going to?
I don't know, boy, because they can score a lot of points in a hurry.
Right. And defense, though, is it's always what does them in. It's not like Josh Allen just completely falls apart in the playoffs. They just don't stop anybody.
No.
And the Chiefs beat them like 38-35 or something like that. I don't have to worry about Kansas City anymore, so. Could be good news for them, but we'll see. The door is open for Quinn Ewers to maybe get his first start in the NFL.
It would be awesome.
See what the Dolphins decide to do, but I would like to see him play. Again, Zach Wilson is also on that roster, so maybe he will get some run too. All right. I see Double R for the first time. Okay, we got to remove Double R. Double R, major echo when we brought you on. Were you getting that too, Buck?
I did, yes.
Okay, all right, just making sure. It could have been my computer, but it's not my computer there. We'll get Double R and Wags on here in a moment there. Kurt Cignetti, by the way, named AP Coach of the Year for the second year in a row at Indiana. Wow. It's the other sports headline I wanted to get to today. First coach to ever win it back-to-back.
Wow. They didn't do anything with Dolly Madison's coach, didn't get it, or coach to make everything so nice and comfortable.
Kenny Chesney, the head coach at James Madison, did not get it. And Pat Summerall, the head coach at Tulane, now taking over at Florida, he did not get it either.
No way Lane Kiffin was going to get it.
Still bad, Double R. And it's not the headset. It's something else going on there. I don't think Lane Kiffin's going to get coach of the year either. I mean, Kurt Cignetti deserves it, don't you think?
Yes.
I know it's 2 years in a row, but everyone sort of thought Indiana was going to be a one-year wonder. It's like, oh, congrats, you had a really easy schedule last year, and all right, yeah, things fell your way, that's good, but you're about to go back to being Indiana football, and then what do? They're even better. They go undefeated. They beat Ohio State and Oregon in the same year, and they're the number one seed in the playoff.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard out for anybody with that group. They play well on all sides of the ball. Special teams, that's a good football. You know, and all you have to do is Google that dude. He wins everywhere he goes.
I mean, he's been great. And, yeah, the job he's done, it's one of the best turnarounds, maybe the best turnaround in the history of this sport that we love so much. So he deserves any and all accolades going his way. Obviously, he got paid handsomely with a big contract extension. And it's worked out really, really well for the Hoosiers. And you got to feel like they're going to be. I've seen, you know, Drew Mestemaker, the former Vandergrift Viper, the UNT quarterback. Everyone kind of thinks he's going to Oklahoma State because that's where his coach just went. Indiana apparently is looking at him too to replace Mendoza when he goes. Really? How about that?
Wow.
So, you know, you get your former coach, which is great, but you get the chance to play at Indiana right now. That may be too tough.
Yeah, I think I'd take that shot.
You still got it, Double R. I don't know. Maybe a computer restart or something. I see Wags. We can bring on the other half of Chaos Theory.
What's up, Waggy? What's up, Floyd?
I thought Double R just a second ago. Where'd he go?
He's got the echo chamber.
Yeah, his computer's echoing a bunch every time we bring him on. So get that fixed. Wags, your thoughts on this picture right here, sir?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No.
That's the queen of the ball.
That is lifetime Longhorn and friend of the network, Fozzie Whitaker.
Yeah, no, Fozzie. Yeah, tote the rock, buddy. Tote the rock.
Well, he can't tote the rock anymore. His playing days are done. He's got to switch careers.
What's he toting in that?
He's the queen of the ball.
He something.
Here's Fozzie Whitaker playing the role of Mother Ginger at the Nutcracker. He's got that giant dress, and look, he's hiding some kids under there. There he goes. Well, the Bills, I know times are tough, but the Bills can't be that high, Fozzie.
He bows to the crowd, and then a bunch of kids come out from underneath his dress. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, he lets a bunch of kids out from his gooch onto the stage. Interesting bit. It's an honor. Everyone says it's an honor. They ask Austin celebrities every year to play the role as Mother Ginger in the Nutcracker. So,
yeah, I'll probably pass if that offer comes. I mean, it was hard to pass on that Jardiance offer down in Brazil.
Right. Well, you don't have to go to Brazil for this one. This one's right down the road at the Long Center.
And I don't have to buy my own plane ticket. Like, who in the hell would want to buy their own plane ticket to go to Rio de Janeiro to be an extra in a Jardiance? Hey, here's to your career, buddy, big guy. Keep it up.
I don't know. I feel like Rio's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's surrounded with AIDS. He's got AIDS.
Well, we've got some AIDS here, too, don't we?
Yeah, not per capita, I think Rio de Janeiro, I think this is actually a correct stat. Per capita, I think Rio de Janeiro is one of the highest cities in terms of AIDS.
An AIDS.
Is that Magic's favorite place to vacation?
Sure. I've never gone there. Never going to go.
There's got the echo going.
Uh-oh.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wish we would have worked on some audio before we came on the show.
There's only so much you could do. Only so much. I might stick around until Double R gets that all figured out.
All good, man. But no, I don't think I could put a red bow tie on.
It's the tie. It's the bow. It's the little bow on
It's the makeup. It's the lips. I mean, there's no.
Oh no, I'm fine with the makeup. I'm fine with that. I'm not fine with a bearded man with a bow.
Yeah, hang on. The bow tie is what bothers y'all. Like you could wear a tux with that bow tie. Be a now, little weird.
The makeup, like, it's just all it's just not working for me, Mother Goose.
Mother Goose.
And plus he's got that, you know, 70s Smokey Robinson the Miracles hairdo right there.
Oh man. You know who died yesterday, Buck? Speaking of the 70s?
Who's that?
Carl Carlton.
Oh, what was his song?
She's a Bad Mamma Jamma.
He passed away?
Passed away yesterday.
70 what? 75?
73.
Ooh.
Hotel.
A couple years from him.
Everlasting Love, too, another classic.
Oh, yeah.
All right,
boys, I got to go. I'd like to play in the echo chamber, but I got to get going.